It's okay if you missed your favorite show. Podcasts are ready. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here.
This is Chicago's home for sports. This is ESPN 1000.
Halfway home on the Xander and Hanley Show, ESPN 1000 is the place you are here, and we're glad you are. And, boy, we are so lucky to have the busiest man in sports broadcasting join us right now. He is probably still the best hair in the Big Ten, even though he's broadcasting instead of playing. He is Tim Doyle, a great Twitter follow, at TimDoyle00, the number that he made famous during his playing days. Tim, how you doing? Good morning.
Hey, Brian, Mark, what's up, guys? You know, it's funny you said made famous because I took my son, Chicago Joe, to his first Northwestern game. And I was like, you know, your daddy was a pretty big deal here and stuff. So we get to the game, and he's looking up at the banners, and he goes, you know, your jersey's not hanging anywhere. I said, I actually wasn't that good. He goes, but Willie the Wildcat wears it. I said, and that's how they've honored me? By having the freaking mascot wear my number around?
Well, that is pretty cool, though.
I'll tell you what, I saw you out at Colorado State last night, or a couple nights ago after Marquette's big win over Villanova, and there you are popping up, and now you've got the Loyola. What a great story the Ramblers are, 22nd ranked against Missouri State Bears today, both 14-win teams. And the job that Drew Valentine has done, taking over from Porter Moser, I mean, it's been seamless, and who knows what the ceiling is for this team.
You know, well said, Brian. And the Missouri Valley Conference, I think, goes underrated. You know, they've won a game in the tournament almost every year for the last decade. And we all know the teams when they pop up, whether it's Loyola Chicago or Wichita State when they're in, or Northern Iowa. It seems like every year they're getting into the tournament. So my point is always, well, why don't more teams get in? But as far as the job Valentine has done, he's been remarkable. He's only 30 years old. I mean, when I was 30 years old, I was getting thrown out at Kincaid's and McGee's. Like, I didn't have his matured.
I think I was with you a couple of those nights.
Yeah, so, you know, here's the big thing that they have. They have experience and cohesion. And with the COVID year and with so many transfers, that ends up being their massive advantage. You know, they have five guys that have started over 40 games in their career. And Lucas Williamson, I love the kid. He's a Whitney Young kid. But it seems like he's been in school since 1994. Absolutely. Like, you know, it's his fifth year. But that's an advantage because everyone really understands their role. Now, I'm actually driving to the game right now, which is awesome, from the suburbs. And I did take a peek at the line. And Missouri State is the last Missouri Valley team to come to Chicago and knock off the Ramblers. It was a couple of years ago. And they're really good. This line, I think, should be closer to like 5 or 4.5, because Loyola's played 5 games in conference, guys, and in 3 of them, they were down double digits. So I think that you're laying an absolute premium. I saw the line was at 8.5. I think you know who I like in this game. I can't make a pick on the game, Mike and Mark and Ryan, but I absolutely love Missouri State, for crying out loud.
Well, you mentioned cohesion, and we were talking Bulls basketball, and they seemingly have great chemistry. The guys get along. They've got some talent now. It's been a wonderful season to this point. What are they missing? And because of what went on last night, would you want a guy like Grayson Allen as a teammate? Is there between toughness and dirty play or whatever? Do the Bulls need more toughness? Let alone, you know, they don't need guys body slamming people. But right. What are they missing?
Yeah, I mean, we could do an hour show on those two questions probably, right? So right now, you know, the cohesion is lacking because of the Levine injury. But before he was injured and before the Nets debacle when they got embarrassed on national TV, I thought the Bulls were one of the top 5 teams in the NBA.
Yep.
So what we saw that night from the Brooklyn Nets, when they're healthy, and which is rare, and they're not having off-the-court issues, the Nets at full strength, if we ever see them at full strength, they're probably the best team in the NBA because they embarrassed the Bulls that night. But overall, I think the Bulls are one of the top 4 teams in the East. When you look at the Bulls, the Heat, the Bucks, and obviously the Nets. So, you know, the bench is always a question mark, especially the bigs they bring off their bench. But what an awesome addition DeMar DeRozan was. And this is all about relationships. You know, he had a relationship with the GM, Mark Eversley, from his Toronto days. So when we brought in DeRozan, and I say we because I root for the Bulls. I live in town. And you know, he's added an element of just professionalism, and I think he's going to make Zach LaVine a better pro long term. Are the Bulls going to win the NBA championship? They're going to need help, meaning, you know, maybe the Nets aren't at full strength, maybe some sort of injuries. I think the Bucks, when they have their big three intact, mm-hmm. as they did last night, they're 18-3 in the season. I just trust them. There's just so many unknowns right now with the Brooklyn Nets. But would I want Grayson Allen as a teammate? I would. Here's the deal about him. Yeah, of course, he's, you know, he looks like if Ted Cruz had like a baby with an athlete, it would be Grayson Allen. Like, I always feel like.
Well, thanks for that image. Thank you.
Yeah. Every time I see Grayson Allen, I just think of like Ted Cruz in shape and like making jumpers. But he plays like super hard. He's always been the villain. And, you know, anywhere he goes, I know what that's like for everyone to be, you know, kind of rooting against you. So he plays with an edge. You know, Caruso plays with that same edge, but he's just a little bit more likable. I don't know. There's just, when you wear that Duke uniform, Brian and Mark, you know, I think a lot of people just all of a sudden have an opinion towards you.
Well, what happened last night was pretty tough to watch, and that looked, obviously, that was a flagrant foul. And you know, when we see something like that happen, you know, we can't help but think, wait a minute, we need a little toughness, but where's that line between toughness and dirty? And I think it's probably a very fine line at times because you're competing. If you're a hard compete, you know, somebody who competes hard, you know, that's kind of hard to, you know, decipher. But we do need more toughness, and we need Vooch to play consistently as he's a big man. We need him to play like a big man consistently.
I think, Mark, that, you know, with the injuries, what we're watching right now is guys' roles are changing, and that's hard to do, you know, midseason. Mm-hmm. You know, we're watching the Warriors go through a bit of a struggle. You saw Steph Curry last night kick the chair. And my point with that is, with Klay coming back, you know, his role has changed. And now Draymond Green is hurt. And the Bulls are going through a similar thing where, you're right, Nikola Vucevic maybe needs to revert back to his Magic days, when he was giving you 24 points and 12 rebounds every night. But mm-hmm. when they're at full strength, they don't necessarily need that from him. So, you know, the roles are changing right now. I think the Bulls, you know, once they're going to get healthy, which is obviously with the ball injury going to be a couple of weeks, I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. I think they're going to win their first-round series. And then in order for them to advance and make the Eastern Conference Final or get to an NBA championship, I think they're going to need some help. And, hey, the reality of sports right now is, being healthy is so, so important.
So before we get to your NFL picks, because Hammer is your middle name and now it's a family franchise because at Chicago, Joe Doyle is 6-0 last weekend. He's got the money bag sitting on his lap to prove it. So great follow on Twitter, both Tim and his son, Chicago Joe Doyle. If you want to make money, certainly check that out because the Hammer's got a all money line four team parlay today, which... Wow, a lot of locks there for to have four teams on the money line, Tim. But before we get to that, when you start looking at the college football basketball here in the state, are you buying the Illini stock at this point? When they're healthy, are they legit, or has it been up and down so far?
Yeah, I think they're another team, right? With the Corbello injury and him coming back, you know, they've had a hard time finding any sort of rhythm. So, you know, if you're Brad Underwood, you've obviously had, you know, moments of greatness this year. You know, Coburn is an absolute, you know, low down low, and he's able to do so many different things. But, you know, they have to get healthy, and you want to be peaking at the right time. So it's so hard to predict because of the injuries and then the COVID and the pause, you know, which team's going to be coming into its own. I'll tell you this right now. I was at the Northwestern Michigan State game when I was telling you about the mascot, and I thought eyeball test that day in Evanston, Northwestern was just as good as Michigan State. Now, they ended up losing that game, but what was so ironic was, you know, 2 weeks later, they go to East Lansing and knock off the Spartans. Now, they've kind of thrown up on themselves in a ton of games this year, whether it was the loss in Maryland in overtime or the game to Penn State recently, or, you know, they had a hard-fought loss to Wisconsin. I mean, they've been – my point is they're just as good as anybody in the Big Ten this year, with the exception of probably Purdue, but we've even seen Purdue have its losses at times. I think Purdue's the best team in college basketball when they put it all together. Even their losses have been, you know, somewhat flukes. But I think Illinois at the end of the day is going to be fine. I think the biggest thing for them is to get Corbello back because he's such a dynamic player and he makes everybody else better on the court.
All right, so do you have your hammer while you're driving? Can you give us your NFL, Chicago Joe's NFL
picks? I got my pen. I've got my pen. Hold on. Okay, I'm ready.
You know, here's the deal. Get over to my Twitter. I always try to do the Chicago Joe videos for under a minute because no one has an attention span anymore. And I appreciate Mark and Brian, you know, the love that I got from you guys. And, you know, Brian Hanley and I have been friends a long time. But it's amazing the support that I've got across the country because – you know, Joe's got his challenges, and for my wife and I, that's a challenge for us every single day. The way that him and I bonded over trying to grow his confidence through the videos, and, you know, I'm an Irish guy, so I don't really know how to express my feelings or emotions, but those videos and the impact it has on people is pretty amazing. And I think the biggest thing I want to tell, especially dads out there, because a lot of men don't know how to express their feelings. My dad was never anyone that, you know, told me he loved me or vice versa back to him. I'm trying to get better with it. You know, for dad, you're supposed to be tough and to be strong. And that gambling stuff, that ended up being therapy for me. And I
That's
just want
awesome.
To let that, yeah, I want to let dads know out there that it's okay. And you may not have all the answers, but just to talk about it or to get it off your chest, because people care and they want to support you. A lot of people don't know what to say to us about Joe's challenges and uphill battles, but just to know that guys like yourself, and across the country, and people on social media are there for me, man, that really meant a lot for me when I was going through a really hard time. So to the dads out there, yes, I had a few beers once in a while to drown my sorrows. You know, you feel that way, but that's not always the most healthy way to kind of let go of your problems or your issues or things that are on your chest. So I did it through an unconventional way. Joe and I love the action. It's a great way to see him kind of grow his confidence. But I appreciate you guys mentioning that. It means a lot to me.
It's been remarkable. Yeah, it's been a remarkable journey to watch via Twitter.
Yep,
Tim, and it's ongoing. And Joe is terrific, and you have been terrific, and your wife obviously. So we will direct everyone to your Twitter feed to get the picks because we want that traffic at Tim Doyle 00 at Chicago Joe Doyle and.
The other night when he was the Rams were playing, they played a Monday night game. I was putting him to bed, Brian and Mark, and I said, you know, buddy, I love you and have a good night. And he just opened one eye and he goes, what's the Rams score? I said, 21-0, buddy, go to bed. But I'll say this and last thing. If he goes 0-4 this weekend, I told him he's grounded.
You got to get him a transistor radio to put an old school transistor radio under the pillow. Like we did.
No doubt.
His kids.
No doubt.
And we'll be watching you on CBS Sports Day. You got Loyola and Missouri State at 3:30. So I know you'll do another top-notch job. You've been everywhere. Even American Airlines can't keep you in Baton Rouge when their kiosk doesn't work. So
that's right. What a disaster. And I want to thank you, Brian. You know, Mark, Brian covered me when I was at Northwestern, and him and I struck up a friendship. And when I finished graduating school, he gave me an opportunity on his show, and he was really one of the founding fathers of my career. So I'm always grateful to Brian. And
that's awesome. And it sounds like you guys got kicked out of a couple bars together, too.
Yeah, I tried.
You know, Brian and I have a lot of similarities as far as how we were raised and things we were like, but we're not always proud of what we like. You know what I mean? But it is what it is, Mark. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, fandom is emotional.
I told Mark about my Jägermeister days in my 20s. So, help. That's why I don't remember most of my 20s. All right, Tim. We'll be watching.
Thank you, Tim.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care.
At Tim Doyle 00. It's a fabulous follow. Chicago Joe is 6-0, and we can get the picks there. So during break, I'm going to go and look, and I'm going to make my adjustments as needed here. We'll be back
We'll give our picks too, right?
Yeah, we definitely will. We're here till noon, or no, 1 p.m. here on ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Zander. We'll get around to talking about the Bulls again if you want to talk about that. We'll talk about the Bears and their GM and head coach. And search. I know you guys talked about the Hawks, and they have their challenges. We'll hit all things Chicago sports on up until 1 p.m. here on ESPN 1000. Hanley and Zander, ESPN 1000. Brian, I think Sylvie made up to Milwaukee last night with the family to take in the game against the Bucks.
Well, he is our number one Bulls fan here on ESPN 1000.
He is. He was, his neck veins were popping. Did you hear that reference to him on the TV broadcast, I believe it was?
Yeah. That was one funny. The emotions are not only on his sleeve, they're on his neck. Sometimes.
All over his face and neck.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. We've got Brandon in Westchester wants to talk about the Bulls before we get to talk about the NFL divisional playoff games this weekend. Welcome to ESPN 1000, Brandon. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I want to sum it up like this. I put that loss on Coby White last night. You can't be a starter and your role is to score, and you only score 7 points in 37 minutes. That's the first time I ever saw him very timid. He didn't want to go to the hole. And the way I look at it with these injuries, they can define you. And two guys who need to remain on this roster when everybody comes back, this kid, Cook, was really good last night. To start at power four, he was active. He had a big lead with his presence. And he also rebounds well. And he can score when he's in the post. And Matt Thomas needs to be on this roster. He can flat out shoot the ball. We need a guy on a 12-man roster, period. He needs to be. And the way I look at it, Billy Donovan needs to stop bringing Vooch up top to set a pick. He doesn't roll. He doesn't hit the three. So what's the point of him even sitting out there? They're already doubling DeRozan regardless. And why does a pick have to be set with a big man? I don't understand why you can't use a guard to set a pick, and Kobe can knock the three down. I don't understand why we're using Vooch in a pick and roll. Like I said, he doesn't roll at all. So why are we using him? It just doesn't make sense. And I'm glad that game was national last night because you got people like Van Gundy telling the truth. Ayo Dosunmu, shoot the ball. Why are you constantly passing? And if I'm the coach, I tell him straight to his face. If you pass up another shot, I'm taking you out. It's just that simple. And Van Gundy said it like three times. Dosunmu is just passing up shots. That means you're playing scared. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. A lot there.
Yeah, there was. And he is all pick and no roll, isn't
he? Yeah. And, Coby White, 0 for 9 from three-point land, 3 for 15. You're going to have nights like that. But I think Tim Doyle just said it.
Yeah, 7 points for Coby. That's it.
You guys are doing with when you don't have your full complement, you don't have two of your main pieces in Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine. Guys are trying to do too much, and guys like Dosunmu are not doing enough. And it's, everyone's kind of out of sync. And when you're either taking on a role you're not used to taking or feeling like you have to carry too much of the burden and you keep chucking, even though it's not your night to shoot. So you have one guy passing up shots and the other guy taking any shot that he thinks he can make and pretty much not making any of them. But the guy, we saw and we talked about top of the show is Caruso. He needs to be on this roster because the team's defense, when he is out there and playing and doing what he does, whether it's steals or whatever, the whole defensive tone and mindset of this team changes.
Sure does.
Huge
sure
in
does.
A great way, yeah.
It's good to have him back. Now we just have to get LaVine back because Ball is at least a month or two out, right?
Oh, easily, yeah. He's easily, having arthroscopic surgery, and he'll be out probably 8 weeks or so. Yeah,
that is a tough loss. It begs the question if they're going to make an adjustment at the trade deadline. Something we talked about last week because of this, right?
Well, because of this, and as much as Tim Doyle said they're a top four team, are they a team? How much do you mortgage the future for the now, given the fact you've lost 5 of 6 and 6 of 8, and granted, your health is certainly a big part of that. But again, 12-12 against teams with 500 or better records. Right. How do you judge the overall record? And we've been spoiled by the enjoyable season, and 28-16 looks great. But realistically, how good a team are they? Even when healthy, and are they, the timeline still has a couple seasons to run before you legitimately start rolling the dice at trade deadlines and trying to fill that last spot or two to cement your championship chances.
And that's February 10th. And we talked about this last week. And, of course, the Ball injury now is a new factor as opposed to what we were talking about last week. I mean, do they now make a more serious move at the trade deadline. Is that something you would want to see? 312-332-3776, because now they have a need as opposed to before. It was just to improve, but now they have to actually replace a player, a very important player on the roster. Can they get that done without giving up too much?
That's we saw last year what they did without a legit point guard, right? When Coby White was trying to be that guy, and they shoehorned him into a position. He took one for the team, but the offense wasn't better for it. But so you go out and make the big deal for Lonzo Ball, and everything's great until the point where he gets the injury and says, you know what, surgery is my best course of action right now.
Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow. 312-332-3776. That projection from, 534 you said?
538.
Yeah. You're 534, right, on Twitter?
Nate Silver's 538.
Okay, right. Okay, yeah. That projection looks a little more close to reality, seeing what we've seen from them. How many games? So are we on a five-game skid? I think so, right?
Five of six, six of eight. They've lost. And then again, you know, they projected last Saturday when we were talking about the 538's algorithms and computers projected the Bulls to be a squarely 21-21 team from that point on to the end of the regular season. Certainly a 90% probability to be in the postseason, which is great because of the beginning of the year, who knew? And now it's just how much noise can you make and how much experience can you get? And that makes him that much better next season.
Right. And how much are you willing to give away this year to make a run? Or are you just going to stand pat and let the injuries and everybody try to step up and see what you can do this year, but really focusing on the big prize or the bigger prize next year?
Yeah, absolutely. 312-332-3776. If you have Bulls thoughts, and also, are you exhausted by the Bears head coach GM search, or your patience is a virtue and you trust that the more they talk and the more people they consider, the more likely they will finally get it right?
But the more they talk, the more they give an opportunity for Ted Phillips to be involved.
Oh, boy, you're ruining my afternoon.
I know. It troubles me, greatly troubles me. That guy should just be moved out. He should run the ticket office.
As George once did. Yeah. George used to go out to the parking lot, and if anyone was parked in any of the parking spots that were reserved for other people, he would slap orange stickers on the car, basically like
he would do that himself.
Yes. That's all you need to know about the chairman of the Chicago Bears. He wasn't chairman back then, but
right.
Well,
now he has.
I don't think Jerry Jones is out in front of the big palace in Arlington. I'm worried about who's parked where.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. We'll be back to give our picks and take your picks on the four NFL divisional games, starting with the Bengals-Titans this afternoon. The late night or the later game today would be 49ers-Packers. Tomorrow, Rams-Bucks, the early game. And the big one, I think, the marquee matchup, at least in my mind, would be Bills-Chiefs tomorrow night. And we will talk about those. And if you want to jump in, 312-332-3776. It's Hanley and Zander, and this is ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, Mark Zander here, Brian Hanley right there. NFL divisional playoff games, four of them this weekend, two today, two tomorrow. What's the big game that you're really, really excited about, Brian?
I think a couple things. I think the Niners-Packers will be a good game anytime you get a team coming from the coast to Lambeau, maybe snow
on
there.
A cold night. Yeah.
And the way Jimmy Garoppolo and that Niners team is playing, a lot of people certainly want to take the points there and maybe even give them a shot to upset Green Bay. But you said it, the Bills, Kansas City, if both teams are playing as they're capable of playing, it should be an outstanding game. My best bet, though, is neither of those games. So,
okay, what you want to get to that, or you want me to go through what?
Let's look at it.
All right. So you know what? I'm just going to keep it simple. Just win loss. I think he. I'm going to take the Bengals over the Titans. I know that probably isn't a popular choice. I know the Titans are favored in that one, but I think Burrow might come through. Remember, I'm a meathead fan first with all kinds of emotional decisions like I did last week. ill-advised. And obviously, you texted me right when T.J. Watt got that touchdown. It's like, Big Ben. I'm like, Big Ben, yeah, and that didn't work out.
It went off the tracks after that.
Yeah, it did. It went off the tracks hard. But you know what? That would have been a great story if it worked out. It just didn't work out. But I'm taking the Bengals in that matchup for tonight. Look, I want to be a 49ers fan. Call me Fred Huebner right now. I don't want to see the Packers win, but you know what? You know what? I can't go against, you know, common sense is going to prevail here. I can't go against the Packers in Lambeau on a cold night with the 49ers coming into town, even though the 49ers have given them fits in the past. Then for tomorrow, you know, I cannot believe the Buccaneers are so heavily favored against the Rams.
Heavily favored? 2.5?
Well, what? Okay, you know, let me say this. Heavily favored in the FPI, according to ESPN.com, which is the Football Power Index. They're heavily favored, but...
Yeah, the line itself.
Yeah, the line itself
smells. It does. I mean, it's basically saying it's mana from heaven. The Bucs are only laying 2.5. You know, bet Tampa and go to the window and cash. And whenever I see that, I run the other way. That doesn't seem right. I know the Rams, you know, defenses, all that, but you're going to Tampa. Now the line, I just looked, it's 2.5. It was 3.
I'm seeing 3 now.
Okay.
Oh no, it was 2.5. Yes. And the line is 3 now. The open was 2.5.
Okay. Well, on my app, I just looked, it's 2.5. I mean, I'll take those points because that line smells to me. It just they should win by 7, 8, 10, whatever. Pick a number, right? Larger than 3, and I don't get it. So something doesn't add up to. So I'm going to be the contrarian there, and I'll take the Rams plus the points.
Yeah.
And you know, the interesting, at least on my sportsbook app, the totals on the first 3 games. The Tennessee, Cincinnati, the Packers, Niners, and the Bucks, Rams, all 47.5 points. You talk about synergy. I know the odds couple. They, you know, Mike North loves San Francisco plus the points, 5.5 or 6. And like I said, some people would suggest that they could steal a win outright and move along. I'm not sure that's the case, but I think they'll be competitive.
Yeah.
And I know that Carmen DeFalco gave out his best play was the over in the Bills Kansas City game, which is 53.5.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, he'll take him over 54 even. He thinks it'll be a high scoring affair, which would make sense, right?
Yep.
I'd hate to tell you about Joe Burrow and his Bono glasses, his U2 Bono glasses, but I think he's going to be in for a rough day with Tennessee. That's my best bet. I'm going Titans.
Okay. Again, that's an emotional one for me. I'm rooting for the Bengals. You know, I actually have some family there that is in Cincinnati.
Well, they had their one win last week.
Yeah, and maybe that's all they'll get this year.
31 years, they'll get another one.
But definitely, I'm on the Rams, and I am on the Bills over the Chiefs for sure.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though, with Tennessee and Cincinnati. You know, Joe Burrow said after the game, well, we got to be better than the red zone. No kidding. You can't stall out. I mean, the Raiders had a chance to win that game on the final play of the game.
They did. You're right.
And they should have been blown out because they were every mistake they could have made, they made, right? Self-inflicted wounds. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati didn't wow me at all in that game. So now they're traveling to Tennessee, and the Tennessee's bigger and better on either line. And, you know, I think they'll be able to stop the Cincinnati run game, and I think they'll be able to run all day against the Bengals. And so Joe Burrow can't score if he doesn't really have a lot of time with the ball. I think the Tennessee Titans will dominate time of possession. So that's my best bet of the weekend.
That's going to be key, right? If they can keep the ball out of his hands and run the ball down their throat, sure. Sure. But I'm hoping for Cincinnati, but you're probably right, but definitely the Packers and Rams and Bills for me. Although the Bills Chiefs game is going to be the marquee game. I think, you know, you've got two very, very high quality quarterbacks, and we've got hopefully an OC that is in play for our head coaching job here in Chicago. Trying to get past the Chiefs.
Hey,
it should be interesting.
If Josh Allen goes 7 drives, 7 touchdowns, they don't punt, they don't kick a field goal, And Brian Daboll, I mean, you better.
Call him during the game.
No doubt. Matt Nagy's walkie-talkies and see if you can tap into the headset and say, hey, Brian, we're still waiting for you here in Dallas. Yeah,
this is Ted Phillips. I'm not talking to you.
Ted needs to be putting the construction signs up out at Arlington. He needs to put a hard hat on.
You know what? We can get him one of those trailers, right?
Yeah.
We can get him a trailer. He's got a big ego, so we can paint his name on the trailer. Anything he needs, get him a special hard hat. Yeah, just park him out there.
He can start painting the lines.
Don't give him a phone.
He can paint the lines in the parking lot so that people know where to park. So
yes, he can be in charge of the orange stickers.
Slapping it on the cars that shouldn't have been parked there.
Yeah, that's we've talked to Daboll already. Were you kind of surprised that he was willing to talk during, being so involved in all of this?
Yeah, okay. Everyone,
because there are some coaches that, OC or DCs that don't want to talk during the
You've got
playoffs.
Basically a 24-hour window there, right? Right after the win. I mean, it was literally 12 hours after the impressive display they put on New England. So he knocked out a few interviews that day, including with Miami. And that's
easier to do with Zoom these days.
Exactly right. Although some of these guys are showing up in person, which he wasn't doing that because he had he had other things on his plate, like you said.
Right.
He needed to get his name and his face out there and get that first round of interviews done in very short order. And he did. And why wouldn't, after putting on that display with that offense, why wouldn't you want to be up and early and with everything fresh in mind after the Bears brass hopefully had watched that game and said, we need to talk to this guy?
You know, it's interesting. I follow Gian Greco on Twitter.
Sure.
And did you see when, he responded to somebody saying, Daboll, got to be with the Bears. And Gian Greco's like, because he grew up in Buffalo, he's like,
you
no,
can't
please.
Take the Buffalo out of
no,
Mark.
No. Yeah, please, no. Let him be. Don't drag him here and ruin him. Please, he's from New York, or he's Canadian, I guess, and this is his home. Leave him there. So, and I get what Mark is saying because, this is a bit of a trap here in Chicago with the ownership and everything involved. But wouldn't we like to get a GM and coaching combo that can be able to survive the McCaskies and also give the fans what we need and deserve?
Yeah, look, I don't begrudge Mark his Buffalo Bills fandom because that's the team
he
grew up with.
No, I get it. They're crazy fans
out
there.
Right. I mean, if he wants to jump onto a table or off a table that's on fire, whatever they're doing there, that's fine by me. But they have Josh Allen. They have a head coach who seemingly knows what he's doing. And if Brian Daboll or Leslie Frazier both get hired, I assume they'll make the right choices to fill those coordinator positions. So, Mark could just let Chicago have a
share
little
the wealth, Mark. Please, you're living here. Please let us have. Don't ruin our fun. Don't ruin
speaking,
our fun.
Speaking, Mark, take a quick minute here because he was out there on Twitter, as a lot of us were, with the passing of our buddy Les Grobstein, and he and Les. I mean, anyone who's been doing this for a living forever has we've all known Les for decades. Mm-hmm. Les was always there. I mean, that was...
Hey, for listeners, too.
Yeah. He was at any event. No one had the passion. No one had the work ethic. I mean, to see him rush from the United Center, from a Bulls or Hawks game, and break his rear end to get back to the studio to do his all-night show, to do it in hotel lobbies when he's on the road covering playoff games, and to set up his ISDN line and be there for his six-hour show, seven-hour show sometimes. I mean, I saw Les drink 5-hour energy drink, those little bottles like water, to keep going to do a 7-hour solo shift. I mean, not the greatest way to live health wise, but that's how committed he was.
Yeah.
But Mark obviously was very moved, as we all were, by the passing of Les Grobstein. And if you want to go to YouTube, you can find his memorial service. Guys like David Schuster and Bruce Levine did terrific eulogies, so well deserved for Les Grobstein, who has been around forever, one of the nicest guys you'll ever want to meet, had his opinions, hated the Lakers, hated a lot of things, and let you know, he let everyone know.
He couldn't hide his passion, and that's what we loved about him. No. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was quite a shock and quite a loss. I knew him as a listener many, many years ago, and then I knew him being in the business, running across him several times, had great conversations with him. I was just always amazed about his encyclopedic type of memory.
I can't remember yesterday a lot of days. I'll tell you something.
I brought up something that not a lot of people remember, and he recalled the temperature and the weather conditions that day. And that was the day after Lyman Bostock was murdered in Gary, Indiana. Wow. He was playing for the Angels. I was a big fan of the Angels and him, and I went to the White Sox game that next day, and I heard on the news that morning that he was murdered. And then they had a, you know, a moment of silence for him. So I brought that up to Les. He recalled the weather that day.
Yeah, it's truly remarkable. One of a kind. Chicago's very own. You know, being able to talk with him pretty much every morning for almost a decade when he was signing off his show and leaving, or
right,
even during,
you're crossing shifts with him.
Yeah, during breaks, he would pop in the office and we would share a few minutes. So, again, he mentored so many of the young producers and on-air guys now. Was so generous with his time and his expertise, and just a genuine guy who most of us wouldn't have done what he did to keep going and to keep, you know, slogging along in this business. Underappreciated a lot of times as well.
Yeah, he definitely was. He's going to be missed, his presence for sure. All right, we'll come back and wrap this up. We're here until 1. It's Xander and Hanley on ESPN 1000. We'll talk whatever you want to talk in the last segment. 312-332-3776. The Bears, what's happening with the NFL and the divisional games, or the Chicago Bulls? We'll be right back. All right, we're wrapping things up here on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley right there. I'm Mark Xander, and you've got the Titans in the Bengals-Titans game. That is the early game today, 3:30 start. Then we've got the 49ers-Packers up in Lambeau. Do we have game time temperature for that? I'm going to have to look that up.
Les would know it.
Yeah, he would.
Saw somewhere that there was a reporter reporting from Lambeau probably a couple hours ago, 1 degree.
Just one, the wind chill. Just one. And that, yes, of course, because there is no way they don't have a wind chill.
But they do have the heated cables underneath the field, which I don't, did Soldier Field ever get those or not? That's why the turf still works up at Green Bay, no matter the temperature.
Yeah, it's called smart design. Yeah. And willing to have a world-class facility.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen a game there, but I've told this many times on the air. I was up in the area, do some fish and have like a little holiday with the family. So we went to Lambeau and just walked around what is essentially a mall.
Yep.
And it is just mind blowing. It was weird to be in enemy territory, but I so appreciated what they put into their fandom there.
They have a museum, their Hall of Fame. Yeah, they have people have wedding receptions there. Yes, the groom wears the yellow Favre jersey and the bride, the green Favre jersey.
The cheese hats. They have a whole store of cheese hats. A whole store.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I used to, when I covered games up there, it's like a big college town, really, because that's the only game in town. You would park just like you would at some of these college games. You park on some guy's lawn and give him, back in the day, whatever,
$20. Not a problem.
You know, no, I mean, they were out there and like, hey, okay, when are you going to be done? I'm like, a couple hours after the game, I got to write a story. Okay, then I'll put you over here. Just knock on the door there if you need to get a car moved, and I'll get that over there.
You know, your Wisconsin is very accurate. I appreciate
that. Yeah, well, I went to school in Marquette, so some quality time up there. But, you know, I just looked. We were talking about the Bucks in the Rams game, and I saw that it smelled like bad cheese, that line.
Yeah.
Although now I'm a little nervous because, according to this, 64% of the people wagering on that game have taken the points. Have had the same thinking that I have, which scares me. When the majority of people are with you, that's usually not a good sign.
I agree on that, but you know, and I still like that. I still like the bet.
Yeah, I'm still going to do it. I'm taking the Rams on the
points. So that's not going to change your mind.
It normally would, but I have some time to figure that out. We'll see how my Titans bet comes in first.
Right. So yeah, the Titans are the that was your pick of the weekend, right?
Yep, best bet of the weekend.
Okay.
Okay. And your best bet of the weekend is?
You know, I like the Rams-Bucks, I think. I think the Bills are going to beat the Chiefs. That's going to be a tight game, but I think Rams-Bucks.
Wow.
I like that.
Yeah, that Bills-Chiefs line is what, down to 1.5?
Yeah. In the Chiefs' favor, yeah.
And that could be a pick 'em game by the time it's going the Bills' way, right? So yeah. far, it's coming down. So we'll
it
see.
Is. It is. Yeah, we will see. And all of those games, they are going to there's going to be a lot of entertainment this weekend. I've got to try to figure out where to watch them. My son, who is a younger millennial, or maybe he's Gen whatever, he's not really a TV kid. Remember, we grew up with TVs. Going to his place is like, now I don't have any live TV.
No, cord like, cutting. Okay. Yeah, they don't.
I've cut the cord, but I have live TV. He doesn't even have live TV, so no. I'm going to have to spend my afternoon drinking beer and watching football. Which, I mean, I guess I'll take one for the team.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a lot of drinking if you're going to stay for both games.
Well, I'll pace myself.
Just don't have the Malort. All right.
I promise I will be staying away from the Malort because that is going to only lead to problems.
And you have to be back here tomorrow.
I do, yes. We will be back here at 10 a.m. tomorrow talking what happened on the two games, the Bengals-Titans and Packers 49ers, and then previewing the Rams-Bucks and also the
Bears
Bills.
The Bears probably will have added 8 candidates to their list.
At least 8, 10, but no hires, obviously, because, you know, we're not at that point yet. I don't mind that they're talking to a lot of people. I just don't want Ted in the room.
Well, that ship has sailed.
Well, not according to what he's telling people, according to what our very own David Kaplan says, but hopefully that is not the case at all. Brian, thanks for hanging out with us today. Thank you to Jake and Tyler, and we will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. on ESPN 1000.
Sounds like a plan.
At noon Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN Plus. This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago ESPN 1000.
A Good Karma Brands Radio.